No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I'm in here with my man, Ty Fontaine. How you doing, bro?
What's good? Doing good. How you doing, Adam?
Excellent to have you in here. I know it's kind of early in terms of your career, but I have a lot of faith in you. I feel like you are bringing a lot to the table vocally.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different things that somebody could potentially bring to the table as a rapper, but I feel like, you know, your vocal stylings.
Yeah.
I'm sounding old as fuck, but yeah. Your vocal stylings.
I know what you mean.
They're dope, man.
Yeah, I try to, like, that's one of the main things I try to do, because, like, I feel like we're to the point now where people have, like, said a bunch of crazy shit, like, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of thing where people, like, say crazy stuff like TJX6, or, like, people say, like, shit that just grabs your attention. Like, that's one way to get attention, and then the other way is to, like, be on some, like, just make it sound different, you know what I'm saying? So.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I kind of work on.
What's your, like, early musical background? Were you singing as a kid or anything?
I was I was in choir in, like, sixth grade. That's probably, like, the only thing. I was kind of forced to do that shit because...
I don't know if that was the first time I ever sneezed on the podcast.
Oh, bless you. I didn't even say
oh,
bless.
Oh, thank you.
I
appreciate
yeah, no,
that. Yeah.
No problem.
The other day, my girl said Gesundheit after I fucking burped.
Is that German?
It certainly sounds like it, but I believe that you only say it after somebody sneezes.
Yeah.
Not a burp.
Oh, she said it after you
burped. After I burped, right? I'm like, that doesn't...
I
no.
mean, people say that after you, like, I don't know.
You can say excuse me or excuse yourself or something like that, but Gesundheit is just for sneezes.
Yeah.
But, anyway, sorry about that.
No,
so,
no,
yeah,
you got
early musical experiences.
So, yeah, I was in, like, choir in, like, sixth grade, but I only did that because, like, I was failing, and, like, she said you could do choir and, like, make up the grade or whatever, so I did that, but that was the only time I remember, like, singing, like, actually being taught, like, how to, like, use, you know what I'm saying, use your mm-hmm. voice or whatever, but I kind of learned that, like, all in the past two years, like, year and a half, I've kind of learned how to, like, do all that shit since I've been recording.
So you did it a little bit when you were younger, but you didn't really gravitate towards it?
Yeah. Or, like, now that I think about it, like, singing in the shower, kind of, like, trying to emulate, like, shit. Like, I was listening to, like, I didn't start listening to rap till, like, probably about 6th, 7th grade, but before that, I was listening to, like, Akon and, like, fucking, like, Sean Kingston and people like that. So, like, singing, like, that type of shit in the shower, like, Robin Thicke, like, you know, like, weird shit like that.
But so then one day you just started to go through puberty and you were like, man, I got to hear some people talking about rapping about some
yeah,
gangsta
it was,
shit.
Like, yeah, more, like, puberty and, like, I didn't have any siblings, but, like, older cousins that, like, my mom's from the Bahamas, so I had, like, older cousins come to the States to go to high school. So when that happened, like, my cousins were listening to, like, 50 and, like, Lil Wayne and shit like that. So that's when I kind of picked that up, probably, like, like 7th grade, 8th grade type shit.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that that was, like, 50 Cent to me, 2002, when he came out, it was like, you couldn't tell me shit about any other rapper. Yeah. And, I mean, I knew about Wayne before that. It's interesting to think that Wayne, his reign began maybe 2006, 2007, when people started to really look at him like he was the GOAT all of a sudden.
Yeah, that feels so long ago.
No, right?
Yeah.
But for you, that was just like the music of your childhood, huh?
Yeah.
Like your earliest rap memories. Those were the gods of rap,
yeah,
huh?
I like kind of like, there'll be songs like Wayne songs that I'll hear and like people be like, this is a classic. Do you know this song? I'll be like, I have to hear it. Cause like, I wasn't in tune to like his career back then. But like, if I heard the song, it was like something that was playing, you know what I'm saying? Like I remember it cause it's kind of like nostalgic or whatever. Cause that shit was playing.
I remember one summer in New York where Amelie was like the only song that existed.
I remember that too. What was that like? Like 2009?
Maybe 2008? Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you start to focus on rapping, making music?
Like senior year of high school, like towards the end of senior year of high school, that was like 2018. I was playing sports. I was playing lacrosse. I was about to go to college for lacrosse, and then I decided I didn't want to do that. And like right when I was making that decision, I kind of started going to the studio recording. I kind of like picked like just like on a whim because I was working at a sneaker store back home. It's called Kickspot.
Where are you from again?
DC.
Right.
Yeah, but DC, Maryland.
Okay.
But yeah, I was working at a sneaker store and they built a studio in the back. And my one of my good friends was the engineer there. So I was like, fuck it, I'll try it. He was there. It's like one of my best friends, Brandon, over there. But he came with me and we tried to do that. And I tried to sound like Lil Wayne. I sounded like Lil Wayne, like not retarded Lil Wayne. I didn't want to say it, but like that's how I sounded. I couldn't even get out no words. I was there for like 3 hours, didn't lay down anything.
Didn't work.
Yeah, but then I came again. I had some shit written the next time. I came again and tried it, and it kind of worked.
And so just from the beginning, people were like, thought they saw some promise?
I would say by the time I dropped my first song, people, but that was like My first song was like probably the fourth song I made, or fourth or fifth song I made.
Okay. Mm. And so then how did you sort of go about building your shit? Do you try to play shows locally, or were you more just focused on SoundCloud?
I was
or?
Like, cause like in DC, the stuff I'm doing now, it wasn't like really resonating, cause like the whole sound is like different there. Like if you like the DMV sound is like something like people know. And my like, I learned how to rap like that, cause like when I was in the studio, I saw like Shy Glizzy used to come there, Q the Fool used to come there. So like I was like being a little like assistant to the engineer, cause he was my homie, and like I seen them niggas like punch in and shit. So that's how I learned how to rap and shit. But like the stuff I was listening to, like I wasn't really listening to Q the Fool and like Shy Glizzy, only like at parties and shit, cause that's what was playing. But like me, I was listening to like Uzi and like that Thug. And
it's crazy when you think about it, cause if you really come into rap talking crazy street shit and having guns in your videos and shit, there's like a built-in like automatic audience for that to a certain extent. We see it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like if you want to do something that's kind of outside of that, you sort of have to have bigger hopes, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like it's easy, not I'm not gonna say easy, but like it's kind of like you can pop quicker that way. Like if you're in the right area, like you can pop quicker by doing like, if you a hood nigga, like doing hood nigga shit, if that's resonating, you know what I'm saying? If that's already bubbling. But if you're trying to do something else and step outside of that and do something bigger, and you know what I'm saying, try to do a sound that's going to resonate with more people, it might not stick in your area first. So you might have to like go, like I went to SoundCloud and was like getting reposts from goddamn, you know, Summers and Autumn and that shit, like back in the day, not back in the day, it's not even that, like maybe like 9 months ago.
It was like the last couple of years, for sure.
So that's how I was trying to get my stuff around.
But so, how did you meet Taz? Was he like the first person who actually had a name for himself that really kind of recognized what you were doing?
Kind of like I had like little, so like probably I'm trying to get the timeline right. So last year, So I met Taz by I did the live stream side piece DT. He does like a live stream. He still does it now, like where he like listens to beats and like listens to like people's music and shit. So did that, submitted that. And he liked the song. He was like, this is the best song he's heard on stream. And he sent me a pack like the next day, did the pack, posted a snippet of one of them. And then like a week later, Taz probably DM'd me off that and just swiped up on that and was like, this is fire. I'm trying to sign you.
Really?
Yeah. So that's how I met Taz. But yeah, that didn't happen until like, that was October.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you signed like a producer arrangement with him where he sort of brings you to labels after that fact?
Nah, I signed a record deal through Taz. So it's through Internet Money. It's 10K through Internet Money.
Oh, so it's with the 10K thing directly. Okay. Yeah. That's dope. So then did you just like move out here and just start working all the time? Like,
yeah, I was in Taz's garage till about, what, like a month ago when we moved to the, like a month ago? Like
the spot that I seen you at that's the new spot or
that's Taz's crib. That's where he's at. That's where I was at. I was in the garage, like on an air mattress, and then Cody's room for a little bit when he like was back in Florida. Was in his room in the air mattress and shit, just like working.
How many people on average are staying in the Internet Money house?
At most it could be like 10. Yeah, at most it could be like 10, but like it's been like I've been there when it was like me, Taz and Tanner. Like one time, and then, you know what I'm saying? But at most, it's like 10.
But is it like a hierarchy of like who has to sleep on the floor and who gets to sleep in a bed? It's really like who has a room?
Whoever like claims the shit. Like if you've been staying there long enough and like people see you, like if you're a couch, like right now, like Rio, like I feel like people that watch this will know Rio. Like Rio's like, he's on the couch. Like he's claimed that. But before, when he first came in, like when he first got into the group, he was sleeping under the pool table on the carpet because that was like, that was a sneaky spot. Nobody knew about that spot. He grabbed the carpet and then got down. When people started leaving, he was still there working. He grabbed the couch. And then when people came back from back home, they saw him on the couch and was like, okay, I guess Rio got the key. It's not claim your spot. Nobody really has. Like,
it's like prison. It's like you have to like sort of climb the ladders I've never been of respect to prison, but like, and stuff. Yeah. Me neither, really, but I've heard stuff. I've seen shows.
Yeah, it's like if you claim that shit, like it's really if you claim that shit, you getting it. So.
Right. I mean, I very much like admire Taz for being able to just like exist and do so well in that environment of having so many fucking people around, because me being like 36, I'm definitely like, wow, I just could not do that at this point in my life. But when I think about it, when I was 22, I was living in a fucking ratty ass BMX house with like 10 dudes sleeping on the ground. Didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it makes sense to me.
Nah, yeah, it reminds me a lot of like, that house is like a frat house. Like I went to college for 1 year. I went to St. John's and got in Queens. Last year I was up there. But yeah, when I was there, I was in a suite with like 8 people and we all had like friends who wanted to visit and shit. So like I felt like I already knew what that was about, but there it feels like nobody's doing nothing. Like it's college, so obviously people doing work and whatever, working towards a degree. But Like here, it's like niggas is working towards like money and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and have like, we all have the same goal in mind. Like when we're working on a song, people are working on me, Spirit, Alec. They're like, okay, this song needs to be the best. We'll get paid on the back end, whatever. But as long as these songs are great and we just keep working, like everything's going to come. But and that's what fuels everybody.
Is it that environment 100% where like everybody is just 100% focused
everybody's
on actually
like, bro,
just making something happen?
It's like, it's a doghouse in there. Like, and it, like if you come in there not working, like people that come there on a trial run, like there's obviously people that have, you know, wanted to be internet money or whatever, came through and maybe it didn't work out, but whatever. But when you come in there, you feel it, like everybody's working. And if you're not working, if you're like sitting around, you see everybody working, you're like, what? Even when we're smoking, like chilling in the back, people are making beats. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's not really a time when nobody's working.
Did you like show up and get into that environment? Did your music just get like a million times better immediately because you're just around all these people who really know what they're doing and mm-hmm. know how to make you sound better and know how to tell you good advice?
I would say it's a mix of that, because like there's some people that come in that environment and like think it's just going to be like the sauce. Like the sauce is just going to come to them just because like Taz touches it. But it's not that. It's like it's a mixture of like I came from a sports background. Like I was going to, you know, go to college to play sports and shit. But like when you come in, like it's like a sport, bro. Like when you come in there, it's like a team environment. Like you're trying to work hard so the team can be good, so you can be good, so you can be the best you can be. And when you come in with that mindset, like when you come in like the only thing I have to do is work until I reach my goal type of thing, like you're gonna, you know, get better and shit. Like, and everybody's on that type of time. But if you just sitting back, like you're not, your music's not gonna get, if you're recording once a day when you have a studio for the whole day, like, but you're not.
Compare it to sports in the sense of like, okay, if you want to be a great athlete, a huge part of that is like, yeah, you need to be naturally talented and you have to like study the game, but it's just, a lot of it is just sheer hours. You need to just train like a motherfucker. And do you kind of see music like that in the sense of like, I'm going to get in the studio and make 10 songs today because I know that if I do this every day for the next couple of months, then by the end of those couple of months, my songs are going to be a lot better than when I started.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That was something like I heard growing up all the time. So like, that mindset is like exactly what you said. Like I'm going in there, like even if people like, I got in there, like I could have got a big head. I got in there like the first day Taz flew me out, probably not the first day, second day, because we didn't do anything the first day. Second day we went to the studio, it was Ian's session. I think they had pushed it back. The times got mixed up, so he was a little late. So I got in there, was able to record, and like in that moment I could have done like the first song was pretty good. Everybody's like, oh, okay. And like Taz wasn't back yet. He came, got something to eat, and I could have been like, okay, maybe I'm done. Like Ian's about to come, this one song's cool, but like you gotta be okay. And then when Taz got back, I probably made about 3 songs, and he was like, oh shit, okay, cool, you want to make some more? And then like, you know what I'm saying? Like I feel like you just gotta work. Like if he sees you, he's on the same type of time. Like I feel like everybody's on there. Everybody there's on the same type of time. It's just around a good team.
It's interesting though, because whenever I talk to artists, like young artists, a lot of it comes back to the decision of how much of your time you're going to put into working on your shit versus how much of your time you're going to put into promoting your shit. Mm-hmm. And like from your perspective, you seem like you're not like out here doing a bunch of bullshit. Like, you know, we've seen so many rappers sort of come up who their music is okay, or in some cases even just straight up good, and then they basically augment it by having this like crazy ass social media personality. Do you think about that? And you think about like this, like, version of yourself you have to present?
I don't really like try to present nothing. Like what I am is me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like whatever I show like is me 100%. But like you said, like people do bullshit just cause like they're trying to get attention. When I want attention, I can drop a song cause I have so many songs. You know what I'm saying? Like that's where it gets to like, okay, you could do some, you know, other shit. And like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you want to be a personality. Maybe your whole brand is like Instagram. It's not totally music. Maybe they're like half and half, whatever. So you got to do that, whatever. But like my shit is like music. So why would I go do some other shit when I could just make music? And if I'm not, you know, popping, like I want to be just keep dropping shit. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. What's up with your new project? I tried to click on it on Apple Music earlier. I'm going to be honest, and it didn't load in the car, so I had to listen to the project before the new one.
Which, okay, so...
Is it because it's not fully out yet?
Yeah, it's not fully out, so it's probably up there, like, on pre-order or whatever.
That's probably why it didn't show up. See, there you go.
Yeah, so that one, that one's just an accumulation of all the songs I did from, like, October to, like, January, probably. Mm. And we really picked up... No, one of them I made... one of them is kind of like a different vibe, and I made it more recently. Like I took shrooms for the first time, and made that shit off shrooms, and it was ridiculous.
So but, explain.
Oh, actually, it's out. It's called Moments. It's not out on SoundCloud.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did the shrooms affect your worldview?
Bro, what I felt like Prince, bro. I felt like Prince. Like I was like, I don't even know, but like my engineer, like he kind of like the song was kind of backwards when I recorded it. So like I recorded like the verse and half the verse and probably like half the hook and then like the verse and like another part that was catchy, so we put as a hook, but like it all, like it was more ideas were coming than like a full song. And I like heard like little snippets of ideas,
right?
And then like he was like, I recorded a lot, I recorded more than the whole song too. And there was a point where he was like, okay, you're done. And then he just let me go for like 30 minutes, texting me, like, come back up. Came back up, I heard this shit, and I was like, yo. And that was the only song I made that day, and it was the theme song for like that whole day.
I mean, there's a way that you go about viewing the world before you do psychedelics, mm-hmm. and then there's a way that you view the world afterwards, I think. Mm-hmm. And it obviously depends on the dosage and how deep into it you get. But I mean, there's a certain extent to which my earliest experiences with drugs were kind of like epiphanies, like certain mm-hmm. drugs, you know, like the first time I ever did like ecstasy, I had never felt that good before, you know? It sort of like broke my mind
like
a little bit.
Like that's possible.
Like,
whoa,
it's possible for me to be this optimistic. And I sort of like saw a vision of what I could possibly be or what I could do with my life that I hadn't seen before. And so that sounds like kind of what you went through.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it was exactly that. I'm not even going to lie. Like I was like, because before that I was on some like totally rap shit. Like, and it was like, bro, everything happens for a reason. Cause like that shit, like Tanner, I don't know if you met him when you came to the house, but he's one of the producers there. He's working hard as shit, gonna uh-huh. blow up soon. Like, but yeah, we both did it. And he sent me, I mean, he didn't send me. We were just sitting there and we was listening to, he got Travis Scott's playlist for when he made Astroworld or some shit like, it was Astroworld, like his inspiration playlist.
Really?
Yeah, somebody, I think Alex Tumay, like someone gave it to, Alex Tumay gave it to someone and someone gave it to Tanner. It was like the playlist that inspired Travis Scott's shit.
So secret information being passed around the music industry?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so we were listening to that shit and it was like, cool, we were on our little, you know, and then he was like, yo, we got to this one song. He was like, yo, I made a beat like this. He played the beat, and I was like, I was geeked up. I was like, yo, we got to do this now. And like Taz was like, he came out. He was looking at us. He was like, what are you guys? And then Denzel here, he came out, I think, and he was like, what are you guys talking about? I was like, no, I have to do this right now. And it was like I was on a mission. So did that shit, and like, yeah, I don't know. I felt like Prince. Like, I was like, I didn't know I could do shit like this. It was like, it's like an 80s vibe type of song. Like, and I kind of like put a twist on it, and it was like, it was a wave after that. Like, I started making more songs like that occasionally, you know, so.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, it definitely broke my shit down, and I was like, yeah.
Is it like a competitive environment in terms of the producers as well? Because you got, like, a bunch of artists that are trying to do the best they can?
I would say more for the producers, it's not that competitive because, like, everybody's working. So, like, somebody could do the melody, somebody could do the hi-hat, somebody could do the bit.
Okay.
It's just as long as everybody's working, you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as, like, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, dog eat dog, everybody can eat together, but as long as you're working, as long as people, you know, if you mooch and like if you see people like, you know, not doing nothing for the whole day and then come like right when one of the artists records and is like, oh, let me just do the hi-hats, just not saying nobody does that, but like,
but is there do you see like six dudes sitting on their laptops with headphones on just like furiously hacking away and making
like,
beats in the same time?
It's all a vibe. Like, it's more like where I might be in the studio recording, they play beats, I don't like any of them, they come and make shit from scratch. Might be like three of them come in, one person do the melody, one person do like the hat, and then one person do, you know, 808s or whatever, and it's just like all kind of messes. It's like nobody's like, yeah, let me,
right.
You know, it's usually like, oh, you did the last, okay, go ahead, you know what I'm saying?
Being in that environment all the time though, do you ever have to like get away from it, and what do you do to
feel like when I get away, it's more like I'm bored because I haven't been doing this for too long. So like before this, I was in college, I was in high school, I was playing sports, and like nothing, like, oh, I wouldn't really want to be doing anything else. Like when I go away, Taz has told me to take a break at least 3 times, like actually like, yo, you should take a break, and then like we'll go maybe like a day, I might not record, and then he'll be like, either I'll be like, yo, I'm trying to record, and it'll be like, no, you shouldn't record. And I'll be like, I'm trying to record. Be like, okay, record. Or it'll be like, yo, I don't got no more Thai songs. Like, you got to make some more Thai songs. And I'll be like, fuck it. All right, bet. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like, it's never like too much of a, because this shit doesn't feel like a job to me yet. You know what I'm saying? I still have a lot to talk about. I still have like a lot different sounds to experiment with. And it doesn't really get boring. It hasn't gotten boring yet. So
definitely. Yeah. Does it feel crazy just to like be developing an actual fan base? Because like I see you definitely have like a small army behind you when I'm looking at the YouTube comments.
It's going pretty crazy. I'm not even gonna like, I didn't know, like, looking at other people, when I was probably, like, a few months before this, when everything started to pop, like, I thought, like, I had maybe had, like, 2,000 followers. I had, like, a consistent, like, 20 people comment on my shit. I was like, oh, yeah, I got a little squad, like, sweet. But, like, bro, it's different now. Like, people really, like, go to bat for me, and, like, I never, you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like, just thinking about back to sports, like, it feels like they're my team. Like, I just, like, you know, I might be the captain or whatever. I just don't want to let them down, and they're all working for me. It's like they're working hard, you know, commenting and, like, spreading the word about me. So it's like I just got to keep producing. It just gives me more fuel.
Definitely. We were talking about this earlier, but so what's the attitude on drugs in the Internet Money House?
No. No drugs.
It don't happen.
No drugs. Like,
the mushrooms are an exception?
Shit that comes from the earth, yo. Right. Like, weed and, like, you know, it's not, mushrooms ain't, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that comes from, you know, so.
That's natural.
Yeah, but none of the pills, none of the lean, none of that will be accepted, tolerated. If he sees you with that shit, Molly, E, whatever, it's no good. Because, like, there's no room for that. Like, and all that shit's going to either make you lazy or just, like, you can't think and, like, nah.
Yeah, it's crazy because, like, when you think about the artists that Taz has been around, that I've been around, it's like there's just so much evidence that is just right in front of our face that it's just the kind of thing that we absolutely got to avoid. Is like, if you're gonna have an artist who's like kind of your responsibility, you know, and it's not like Taz is your fucking dad or anything, but if he's gonna be sort of looking over you and you're getting into shit like that, it's just, number one, it's just like a bad thing to be getting into from his perspective as a person. And number two, like, criminal liability that we've seen in the case of Peep. Nah, that can, like, definitely that be an issue.
Not, that shit is not right. Even for me, like you said, Taz is not like my dad, but, like, he kind of, like, I'm not, he kind of, like, is, like, because I'm barely, like, I'm an adult, but I'm still, like, a kid. You know what I'm saying? So, and Taz, my dad was my lawyer for a little bit. He's a lawyer. Like, he got my contract situated. So, like, my dad and Taz were having conversations. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, he kind of gave him the keys and was like, yo, this is my.
Damn,
you know,
dad's a lawyer.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
What kind of law does he do?
He does estates, like he gets wills together and shit, and then he's like a court appointed guardian.
Right.
So like he's there for people that might not have any family and they have like they can't take care of themselves or shit like that. So
it's interesting because it's like entertainment law and music industry law is like a totally different thing.
It's totally different beast.
But he's probably got plenty of connections. Yeah. He knows who to reach out to and shit like that, huh?
Yeah. For sure, we got everything situated, everything good to go.
That's dope. Mm-hmm. You miss DC?
I miss it, but I don't want to go back until like I'm lit. I don't really want to go back until like I'm the biggest artist from my area. That's,
really?
Yeah, that's why I feel like I want to go back and like be able to like go to my high school and kids like geek the fuck out. Like that's what I want to just, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't feel like people have started to reach back. Like I had a couple homies from DC that rap that I knew, like Money Mar is what I knew him before. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah, Money Mar I knew before I like really popped. Like we were friends. Like I met him like early last year. He came to New York. I went to high school. One of his friends and like we went to college together. So like we were cool in it, and we, you know, we became friends. But Money Mar, Young Manny, he's my homie. But like,
shout out Young Manny.
Yeah,
he's cool.
But, like, nobody, like, really was, like, supporting. It wasn't necessarily them, but, like, people from D.C. wasn't really fucking, like, DMV wasn't really fucking with my, you know, music. It was more, like, when I saw my listeners, it was more, like, Los Angeles. And, like, Miami was one of the top ones. And, like, you know what I'm saying? It was all over the place. Never, like, really D.C., though. So I just want to go back when I'm, like, all right, like, y'all gonna fuck with me now type shit. You know what I'm saying?
Is that the vibe? You feel like you have to make it, like, on the internet before you could be popping locally?
You definitely don't, like, because most of those people, like, in that scene have been, it's the other way around. They get popping locally, and then it's a struggle to get popping everywhere else. Because, right. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, it's to each his own.
Yeah, I hear it. What do you actually, like, listening to these days?
I'm listening to... okay, my top three songs have been Party Next Door and the Rihanna song. I forgot what it's called. The Party Next Door and Rihanna song. The song Lil Durk just dropped. Love All. And then, the song off Brent Faiyaz project. I forgot. But those have been, like, my three just in rotation. Other than, like, my shit, I only have, like, a couple songs I'd be listening to now.
Some of the greatest voices of our generation. Rihanna, Lil Durk. Yeah.
Rihanna, Durk.
I mean, hey, I'm not even like being sarcastic. Like Durk, in terms of like his actual delivery and like what he does on his track is pretty incredible.
Yeah, he says a lot of shit, and like the way he says it, and like his has melodies too, and like he can do the no auto shit, but he can also like go crazy with the melodies. That's what I like on the All Love song. He's doing both, like, so that's why I like to listen to it.
Most of my favorite Dirk songs are the ones where he says things that I like really, like I think about what his lawyer probably thinks of him saying yeah, that. And I'm like, damn, shit. Dirk, you should not be saying that.
Yeah, but he don't give a fuck. That's why people fuck with him. Same shit. That's like, a fact. On some young boy shit, like the people that don't give a fuck. You know,
young boy talking about having herpes on a track was the craziest thing ever.
I didn't even know that.
He must have been so in the zone that night that he said, "I got the herpes all in my blood."
He's talking. He really said that.
I mean, he can't get mad at me for pointing it out. It was like he did say it.
Yeah, he talking. I mean, that's just his life. It's his real life. I mean,
hey,
you're not holding it back. I respect it.
I respect that too, man. That's mm-hmm. that's kind of tight. I don't do that. Like, if I got herpes, I'm not gonna come on here and talk about it.
Hey, baby, just herpes awareness.
Keep that shit a secret for sure. I'm not telling you guys.
I mean, shit.
I'm kind of jinxing myself here.
No, you got, like, youth that watch this. Maybe, like, tell them, yo, I got this shit. This like, yo, don't do what I did. You don't want this shit. You know what I'm saying?
That would be so fire.
Yeah, herpes awareness.
If I actually, like, made myself a sacrifice and, like, aired out my own. Maybe that's what Youngboy's doing.
Shit. Oh, damn. Yeah, herpes awareness.
Okay, but so what do people get wrong about Taz and about the internet money lifestyle and stuff in terms of like stereotypes? There's always like little weird beefs with people talking shit.
People think Taz is a dickhead, obviously, but he's not. It's just like he says what he wants to say and doesn't really like care. Like he's not like a lot of people in the music shit are like suits and like they're politically correct and like they don't want to hurt people's feelings because they want to work with them. Like we don't like he's taught me like, yo, just go with your like whatever you're thinking, just go with your gut and like just tell people how you feel, because at the end of the day, if you're bullshitting, like that's just gonna like it's gonna fuck shit up. Like it's either gonna make you like in your whole relationship fake and the whole thing's gonna be like it's not gonna be a solid relationship, you know what I'm saying? Like you might do business or whatever, but it's not gonna be solid. Like you gotta be straight up with people so they can trust you and you know what I'm saying, just build that, because the fake shit is just not it. But yeah, people think Taz is a dickhead. He's just being real 100% of the time. And like I don't know. People say like the internet money is trying to like, I don't know. I've heard like they try to get you into slavery deals or like the deals there, bro. Everybody in this music shit, there nobody likes their first deal, bro. I don't think anybody in this music shit really likes the first deal they get. And like when they figure it out, when they figure out what they could have got or figure out what, you know, they think they should have got, it like fucks their mind up. It's like, he didn't give me that. No, he didn't. You got to learn business, yo. Like it's just simple as that. So I think like, that's really the main thing. Nobody's getting no fucked up deals. Nobody's getting fucked over. Everybody's eating. And Taz is not a dickhead. He just says what he wants to say 100% of the time.
It's weird, though, because does it feel like there's a lot of, like, young kids who are just, like, that is their actual dream because it seems, like, sort of attainable is to get signed to, like, internet money? Because it's not, like, getting signed to, like, fucking OVO or something. It's, like, they've seen a lot of people come up from the fucking underground and, like, come through that and all of a sudden
be huge. It's definitely attainable. Like, it's, bro, it's, like, Taz is... Taz is good at what he does because, like, he keeps it real. And, like, if he likes something, he's going to do it. He's not waiting for other people to, like, oh, these are the statistics on it. Yo, this kid's pop. He's not waiting for, like, to hear other labels talking about it before he moves on it. No, it's like, yo, if he sees you working, if he sees it and likes the music, really, like, he's going to fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's obtainable because, like, he sees – we have conversations about SoundCloud kids all the time. Like, these little kids that don't think we're talking about them, bro, like, we're talking – because I don't really – like, other than, like, you know, the people I said, like, I'm not really listening to goddamn – mainstream shit. Like I'm like, other than those songs, like if I'm going to SoundCloud and listening to something, I'm listening to goddamn Autumn. I'm listening to people like he's posting. I'm listening to like the new shit, not like the shit before. He's doing the same thing. He's trying to figure out what's next. So like, you know, all these kids, like they want to be that because they see, they've probably been in like a group chat with the kid who's, you know, gotten into the internet money, or you know what I'm saying, they maybe, you know, had conversations with them in DM or whatever. It feels obtainable because it is.
What's the policy on hoes at the internet money mansion?
Yeah, so you know, it just don't bring no crazy bitches through, yo. Just don't bring nobody who's going, you know, post the addy, nobody who's going, you know, try to, you know, do some sneaky shit. Just, you know, vet the girls before, you know, make sure they're, you know, stand up women.
Man, some girls though that have seemed great to me in my life have ended up being the worst ones by far, though. So
you live and you learn. Yeah, but like, yeah, just don't bring any like ticking time bombs to the crib, bro.
They're all ticking time bombs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, but yeah. So you don't got a girlfriend or none?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No time for that.
I mean, look, it's not that there's no time for that. I feel like behind every man is a great woman. Obviously, like I've just seen that through my life. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but the right girl hasn't come. You know,
we'll find her.
Yeah, we'll find her.
Hopefully. She's out there. somewhere. So what do you got in the works? What are you planning? Is the quarantine slowing up whatever progress you've been making in your
quarantine
career?
Quarantine is not slowing up anything.
Just more of the same.
Yeah, it's like
trapped in the studio.
Like, cause the stuff I had, you know, shows I had, like I got booked for a couple festivals, and they probably won't happen now. But it's later, like fall and like late summer. So I'm being hopeful. But like my whole plan was to work this whole time, cause I don't know, when you start going on the road, you might, you know, I've heard you don't have that much time to work. So I'm just trying to get everything I can done, as much quality shit that I'm just sitting on, waiting to just unload, pause. Yeah, so it really hasn't changed anything. I'm still at Taz's crib, like, if not every day, every other day. But, like, you know.
Oh, so you got your own spot, too?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in an apartment. I live, like, 5 minutes from here.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's dope.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sick. Damn, I didn't know that anybody had their own spot, too. That must be nice, actually, to be able to have your own element, too.
It's just a lot better. Like, it doesn't necessarily feel like work, but, like, when I was there, like, it got to the point. It wasn't too. It was probably the last week I was there. It was, like, when I was getting up, like, I just didn't want to work. Like, I just was like, I just don't.
But, yeah, like, I wouldn't want to live in the same place I do podcasts. Like, if my bed was over there, that would be kind of weird
for
me.
It's just different. And there was people, like, there was a point when I was actually sleeping in the studio, you know what I'm saying? Like, for my first couple weeks. And, like, that, well, that was different because I felt like, okay, this is the dream. Like, yeah, I got a studio to myself. Let's go.
It's weird because, like, when you first come out here, like, just being an artist who's just super hungry to do anything, fuck it, yeah. Like, sleep in the studio, sleep on the couch, do whatever. But then as you get more and more established, it's kind of like, you go through this process of realizing, like, oh, I'm going to be more effective if I find a way to sort of balance my life, you know, to be able to rest and then get back to the music, you know? Like, whereas at first, you're so thankful to even be in that environment that you're just like, I'm going to just go crazy 12 hours a day.
Exactly. Like, yeah, so getting my own place, like, really just gave me, like, my own spot to think. I don't have to, like, I love those guys. Love them to death, don't get me wrong, but like I just have my own space. It's just me and my mans, and like where I can just go into my room and not hear shit. Like, I don't have to hear no beats going on. I don't have to hear people like yelling and laughing all the time. I can just sit back and just cool it, put on some Netflix, put on some fucking Rainbow Six Siege, play some video games, whatever I want to do.
How's your toilet paper supply?
Yo, it's pretty good. I just ordered a bidet. Tushy bidet.
Really?
We're going crazy. Yes.
Wow, those are probably like sold out and backed up and shit.
When I was on the website, it was about a week ago. Shit's supposed to come in next week, and nothing was on back order. It just takes, like, I think they make it first. I don't think they have them made. I think they make it first.
They make it to the shape of your ass.
Nah. I don't know.
You just send them a mold. It's like a grill.
Yeah, you got to measure. You got to measure your... Yeah,
so they get the spray just right. No, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been to a whole bunch of different countries that have bidets. And for people at home who don't know, a bidet shoots, it's a little thing. It shoots water up into your ass to clean it off. I've been in so many different countries that have it, but I never used it.
Well, I'm not even going to go deep into it, but it's a great investment for you. For you have a lady, you know what I'm saying? If you do, you know, booty stuff, it's a good investment. It keeps you clean, you know? And you, regardless, you just want to be clean, so bidet.
Maybe I'll get one.
Yeah. The toilet paper, yo, you see it. Like, when you use toilet paper, like, the little flakes being... You got to use wet ones. When I was using toilet paper, I was using wet ones. So, yeah, but the bidet.
And sometimes... this might be a little too graphic, but sometimes, you know, I'm waking up, I'm drinking coffee, I might have to take a couple of shits, and then it's like you have to wipe your ass a couple of times. Like, you sort of...
And then it's hot, and it's... But, yeah, all... The, you know,
it starts to burn. Why not just have a jet?
Yeah.
Brah. Yeah. All right. Okay. So yeah, you just supporting this project that you're working on right now.
1800 project comes out the 24th of April. I have another single. I dropped the first single off of it last Friday. It's called Fetish. Another single drops this Friday. And then we're putting Moments is already on SoundCloud. We're just doing a video for that right before the project drops. So, you know, just had a bunch of stuff lined up, shot videos, and just seeing what this does. I definitely, like, we're right now, we're like, it's so weird now to think about it. Cause, like, when I was just releasing stuff myself, like, it was like, okay, I have these 8 songs, let's go. You know what I'm saying? But now it's like, okay, before we really set these songs in motion, I probably had like 200 songs that I had made. And we're like, okay, this 12 is what we're gonna use, and we kept a couple, you know, saying heaters in the vault, and then I made probably like at least like 200 more, and then now we're like probably like 2 to 3 projects ahead. We already have like another one kind of sketched out, and then we're working. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of weird, just like working ahead, cause like that's what the whole music industry is doing, I guess. But like,
right,
that's kind of weird now that I can't like drop shit like right when I want to. But yeah.
Hey. Respect it. It's the learning process.
Yeah, man.
There we go. Hey, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Appreciate you having me.
This time Thank of you. Social distancing.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it's been cool because I don't know if you remember, you posted like one of my first videos.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is like full circle, man.
Full circle. Getting the interview in. That's what we're doing out here. Shout out Internet Money.
Shout out No Jumper.
Shout out Ty.
Shout out High Tide 1800, all that shit. 1800 Project, 24th.
What does 1800 come from? That's the street you grew up on or something?
It's like, so High Tide is like a little group, like me and my homie made. It's like when the tide's at its highest, the waves are at its biggest and like most powerful. People back then were saying, oh yeah, we the wave. People say it now, but like we just wanted to come up with something different. And then 1800 is like a number that means forever. If you flip 18 on a side, it's the infinity sign underlined. And then zeros are like forever, you know what I'm saying? So it's where the wave forever type shit.
Kind of like a snowman.
Yeah,
kind of like flip it on its side. Wait, no. It's like a three-headed snowman.
Yeah, a snowman already has three.
No,
circles.
But it's like if you took the 1800, it's like a line and then three heads and then the snowman body. All right. Yeah. Ty Fontaine, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes.
Shit. Yes, sir.
Like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com. Etc. We got new kendamas.
New kendamas.
You want one?
Not the old ones. Yeah.
I would love to give this to you.
Thank you, bro.
Boom. There it is. Nojumper.com. Appreciate y'all.
Bow.
Another classic interview in the books. If you guys enjoyed this, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe, and head on over to nojumper.com to support. Appreciate y'all.